Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, the co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing fine, and you're ready and just set to go?
Yes,
here.
Exactly.
Okay, well, you know, we've complained a little bit. No, we complain a lot because we don't like the policy. But we complained a bit last week or two because Paul Ryan wasn't on our team. That was always the thing in Washington. You're not on our team, and we're going to punish you. No, he hasn't been on our team, and the Senate had voted that we should cease our assistance with the Saudis in the war in Yemen. Mm-hmm. And it passed the Senate, and it was supposed to come up in the House, and Paul Ryan went to extremes and manipulated the Rules Committee to make sure they weren't even allowed to vote on it, fearful that it might look anti-Saudi or anti-Trump. I don't know what. But anyway, it was canceled. But lo and behold, today, there's going to be a vote in the House that they're going to be allowed to vote on this, which is very important. And there's an identical bill in the Senate. And the bill, essentially what they passed last year, of trying to stop our participation in the war against Yemen on the side of Saudi Arabia. But it's interesting. Before, it was Paul Ryan was in charge in the Hawks, Republican Hawks, and they don't, there's not a war that they don't like. You know, they don't want to diminish it, and look how they reacted when Trump wanted to bring some troops out of Syria. So, but here it is, Pelosi has allowed this vote, can't come up without her permission. So this is interesting. Do you think she may have a soft spot in her heart for non-intervention? Maybe she's not controlled by the military-industrial complex. Maybe she is not so pleased with Middle Eastern policy. Well, let's hope, but I don't think so. I think it has something to do with the president. Under these circumstances, the president is very adamant. He has threatened a veto if this bill would happen to be passed. I don't think he's vetoed anything so far, not that I can remember, but he'll veto this. So he's very, very serious about this. He says it does not qualify under the War Powers Resolution because we don't have troops on the ground. Mm-hmm. But the War Powers Resolution doesn't state how many troops you have to have. It's involvement, support, intelligence gathering, all these things. So there's no doubt that we're assisting them, and Trump doesn't even deny that. He says, but it doesn't really qualify. So it's brought up, but I don't know whether you agree with this, but I think it's anti-Trump more than anti-war.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to it. And it's really inexplicable because, you know, Trump inherited this stupid war from Obama. And, you know, he's gone on about opposition to endless wars that go nowhere. But on this one, there's a real blind spot, you know, if you want to talk about it that way. He loves this Yemen war, and I think it has to do with his relationship with the Saudis. As you remember, Dr. Paul, his first trip abroad was to Saudi Arabia and Israel, and those two have really cemented their alliance over the past several years in many ways as an anti-Iran front, which ties in sort of the third leg of Trump's policy, which is opposition to Iran. So I think he sees this as critical to his Middle East policy to support this, but it is an absolutely, not only a ridiculous war, it's a horribly vicious war. You know, we're talking about the U.S. is now all amped up about starving in Venezuela. Well, we know where they're starving. It's in Yemen. We've seen the pictures. They're horrific. We've seen the Saudi strikes on school buses. It's all there in front of them, and Congress has, to this point, done nothing.
You know, the Khashoggi killing enters into this, too, because for PR purposes and political purposes, the members of Congress have to appear outraged about this. This was a limit, so they want to punish Saudi Arabia. So this gives them a chance for being anti-Saudi, at the same time not really punishing Saudi Arabia. It's sort of a grandstand, but I think they get supports for this resolution. So we get support today for those who just say, well, this is a message to the Saudis because they've covered up on this murder. And, of course, our position on that is, it was a horrible, horrible thing. But we don't want the Saudis or anybody else coming in this country and deciding who murdered whom. You know, I think that's supposed to be a sovereign issue. But anyway, this is part of what's going on, and I think it's safer to support this and have a vote because of that, because there's that has gained more attention than the significance of us being involved in the first place. So I think that is an important issue as well.
Was it Stalin that said one death is a tragedy, a million deaths a statistic?
Right.
But Congress has glommed onto it. People like Lindsey Graham, a big war hawk, he's used the Khashoggi murder as a tool to bludgeon the Saudis to a degree, because he's very close with the Israelis and the Saudis. So they've used it to this effect. But we should really maybe back up a little bit and talk about what this really is. This is something that you and Dennis Kucinich and a few others used to do a lot on the floor. There was a good bipartisan group there. The late Walter Jones, of course, would join you for that. Using this procedure that is provided for in the War Powers Resolution, even though you've never been that keen on the War Powers, that's another story, but it has a provision if the president introduces American troops, American military into areas of hostility without authorization from Congress, then there is a means by which one member of Congress can bring a vote to the floor, expedited vote to the floor. And it was a great little loophole when you all were doing it, because it provided for a lot of debate. Otherwise, there would have been no debate. Yeah. And that's essentially what this is.
And we were using that to try to get a real debate, on the issue of foreign policy. But this is a move to sort of tinker with politics, and have, make a political statement. And I got to thinking, well, what if this was real strategy on change in policy? Well, we should look every place where we have interfered in the world, and guess what? I think we've interfered a lot more than the Soviets, the Russians, or the Chinese. I mean, they have their interests in different places, but I think we win the prize for being the most involved. And so, if there was a consistency there, we're a lot more involved in Syria without permission than even in this war. As bad as this is, we give it moral support and we give it financial support by providing the military information that helps the Saudis. So, it would be nice for this to come out and have a good vote, and then somebody, miraculously puts it together. Well, that is good. We shouldn't have done that. I'm glad we voted this. Let's look at the other places that we should cease the same type of policy.
Some consistency. definitely a hat tip is deserved from Representative Ro Khanna from California. And it's interesting something. I was just looking into his history. I don't know if you knew this, Dr. Paul, but he originally ran for Congress in 2004 challenging Tom Lantos in his seat. It was interesting, and he ran on a platform of anti-Iraq war, against the Iraq war, in 2004 when it was still popular. And, of course, he got whipped big time by Lantos. But it's kind of interesting, and he kept running after that. He finally was elected, and he's been a pretty good anti-war voice thus far. So he's the one, and he works across the aisle, Mike Lee and others. He has no problem with that. So it's something a little bit of a bright spot, and he's the one who introduced this in the last Congress and in this Congress. So that's something good.
And the involvement we have with other countries, it's a lot more, like we say, than just putting the military troops on the ground, because there's so many other ways, and because we are a powerhouse and very wealthy, at least superficially, we're very wealthy, that we have the so-called authority to put on sanctions, at the same time interfere with the finance of people, freezing assets. And also, this is true in what's going on now in Europe and dealing with Iran. We put tremendous pressure on our so-called allies, you know, to toe the line. And they're in a dilemma. The Europeans are in a dilemma now because, you know, they'd like to continue to do some of the trading that we say, no, you can't do this. These are our sanctions. So we put them on there and you're going to obey us. So there's a lot of ways we interfere. And of course, in our theoretical society that we would continue, we will continue to work for, is where we want to protect our national sovereignty, but mind our own business and let people work these things out differently. Let's say there was a justification or there was a building up of a conflict of border dispute between Yemen and Saudi Arabia, and that was it.
Yeah.
Then I would say, you know, I might have a great deal of sympathy for them, but I still don't think that justifies anything that we have done. Of course, it gets more complicated, you know, when Saudi is getting help from us.
Yeah, and others. But the interesting thing about this is it really will be an historic event. And, you know, it's kind of like one hand clapping because it's exciting because it's the first time the Senate is expected to take up an identical vote, as you said. That's Senate Joint Resolution 7, SJ7, as opposed to the House's HJ Res 37. The Senate is expected to take it up. They passed a very, very similar, or I think identical bill at the end of the previous Congress, I think by 59 yes votes. So they're probably expected to pass this. It's going to pass overwhelmingly in the House. This will mean, with these two identical bills passing, the first time in history that Congress will have invoked the War Powers Resolution to rebuke a president for war. And as I say, on one hand, this is a great, you know, a surge for the anti-war people, but as you point out, a lot of it has to do with politics.
Yes, and I think I saw a statement by our president that said it's necessary because the Saudis buy a lot of weapons from us.
Yeah, he's blunt.
he's an honest guy, yeah. and that is the truth. So that of course, is an additional factor. But that's there all the time. And one thing that they've been able to achieve, they've avoided Vietnam and Korea. Of course, they've now drifted away. Of course, the loss of life that we've had with Iraq and Afghanistan. But they're more sophisticated about this. And yet they're still very, very much involved, and they will continue to do so because they have, from their viewpoint, they might have the best of all world because we have enough trouble that we sort of keep stirring the pot to make sure we have more weapons. I mean, there's been no suggestion. Even a $22 trillion debt and a deficit each year of over $1 trillion doesn't give them the slightest hint that they ought to watch out on this spending. But no, we mean more and more and no weapons forever. It's that of course is where the money is, and this oil obviously is a big thing too. But then there does seem to be almost like an obsession, excessive with Saudi Arabia for our administration to be so pro the Saudis, and the people that's in charge of foreign policy in this administration now are no friends of liberty.
And if you spread a few million dollars around Washington, it's amazing the friends that you will attract. But Trump is expected to veto the bill, and that, you know, it's not a veto proof, but nevertheless, it'll be his first veto, by the way.
Right.
So I would just close by pointing out something unrelated to what we're doing, which is that you may have seen yesterday that the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is a joint investigation into the Russia collusion, have come to a conclusion that they couldn't find any collusion. And you may not have noticed that on your local news. I saw caught a clip this morning, Dr. Paul, of MSNBC anchor practically crying when the news was read. So we've talked a lot about that on this show. Up on the Ron Paul Institute website, there's a little interview that I did yesterday where I talked about the fallout, the censorship of social media, the attacks on independent voices, all based on this conspiracy theory proven to be false. We'll definitely be talking about that again here on the Liberty Report.
Very good. And I'd like to close about mentioning another resolution. in the Senate, and that is to stop our transferring nuclear technology to the Saudi Arabians. And that is the so-called purpose is for peaceful purposes, of course. But sometimes that leads to different ends. We transferred nuclear technology to Saddam Hussein, and he didn't remain a close ally, over the many years. But it goes to show that, on the one hand, we're trying to pass resolutions to curtail our participation in the Yemen war. Then, on the other hand, there's a major effort to give Saudis a lot of nuclear technology, and that has to be a subsidy one way or the other, even though there may be some cash passed. But it's governments that technology. And I believe that weaponry and technology developed by the American people is not privately owned by the industries that developed them. I think there should be limitations on that. But here's this technology going over, and I don't think that if they were getting it legitimately with their own their own research and other people helping them, that we should, take it upon ourselves to say, you will not have nuclear power for, energy purposes. But it's just another area of conflict where we're trying to slow up our involvement with the Saudis at the next time, trying to subsidize them in one way or the other, whether it's military or protecting our oil products and dealing in oil, too. So the answer, of course, is very simple. Why don't we just mind our own business? Why don't we present the case for non-interventionism as a very, very positive thing, and that get people to realize that if they have the slightest interest in peace and prosperity, they have to think about non-intervention in foreign policy. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.